welcome to MedTalks, conversations by medical students for medical students. I'm Deborah, and this is my co-host, Joey.
Co-host Joey coming in live from his house today.
Yeah, shame. Joey got the COVID, but it's fine. You be strong.
Still isolating, but back strong. Soon.
We can almost see you again. All right, but today we are fortunate enough to be going into the realm of biokinetics with our fully qualified biokineticist, Kevin Crossman.
Yes, and welcome back to another episode. Thank you to all our listeners, all our fans. Thanks for all the feedback that's been coming through lately. We really do appreciate that. Sad not to be in studio today with you, Debbie and Kevin, but another week and my isolation ends.
Yeah, then, so, then you're a free bird.
Kevin, it's a pleasure to have you on today. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for you guys to include me. Happy to speak and all the questions that you guys are having. And
these are really good conversations that we're busy having. And we were just saying, Joey and I have said previously, like, it's incredible how much we actually just learned from these conversations and, you know, kind of figure out what we need to do in our own personal lives in different aspects. So we really appreciate it on a personal level and a professional level.
There's so much more to health than just going to a doctor. I mean, 100%. Wow, there's all these other professions out there.
100%. Like, I think that's the thing. We can't take it all on ourselves. It's way too much. But yes, anyway, so as we normally do, let's just jump right into it. Kevin, what is a biokineticist and what are the fundamental principles of it? No pressure. You're representing all biokineticists, so let's go.
Yeah, I thought that would be a fair conversation, actually. Okay, so biokinetics, it's still a young profession. If I say young, I think it's just over 50 years.
Sure.
It's also a profession that actually started in South Africa.
Sure.
So it's
patriotic.
Yeah.
It's proudly South African.
That's incredible.
Oh. And it's part of HBCSA. So we are on the networks there, but we are more outpatient. We work with more the people that post physio. If you think of orthopedics, so my special interest is more orthopedics. So a lot of my conversations will be focused a bit more on that.
Great stuff. Maybe Joe and I can learn a thing or two.
And, so basically, if I just jump in, like, some definitions and, first the boring stuff, but it's important. And, biokinetics, it's all about life and it's all about movement. So our motto is life through movement. It's a science of basically, and the movement and the application of exercise for rehabilitation and performance. So we are basically, if you're asking about the main principles or fundamental principles, mm-hmm. we are about scientifically proven program prescription. That is basically our modality, and we focus basically on health promotion, the maintenance of physical abilities, and then the final phase rehab. So that's basically the orthopedic side mostly, and the special pops. But if we focus even further, we do work with quite a few chronic patients. Like I said, we've got quite a big range of patients, and but I'm going to speak mostly on orthopedics. We basically just want to keep people moving. That's the important thing. So if you want to think of the fundamental thing is movement. Everyone is lazy nowadays, and mm-hmm. everyone sits around. And you know, with COVID happening as well, everyone is at home and home offices. And you know, Joey as well. You know, just can't come in here and just sit at home. And we want you guys.
I just moved to my bed from my bed to my computer. Literally, I need more movement.
Wow, Joey.
Work up a sweat there.
Such hard work.
So, it's basically we just need to get people moving. But if you go a bit deeper into it and orthopedic level, we're focusing on the final phase rehab. So we want to get to a place where if a person is injured and they've gone through a rehab with their surgeon, if they had surgery, or even with the physio. And the physio's main thing then, you know, they focus a lot on working with the patient exactly after surgery or even, you know, while they're still in hospital. And they get to the point where...
Yeah, that initial mobilization.
Exactly. And they, of course, have to focus a lot more on manipulation and, you know, focus on the range of motion and the swelling has to go down and that initial activation of muscles.
Okay.
They do go further into it. But if we say final phase of rehab, that's always our checks. If a patient comes from a physio to us, then we check, okay, has the range of motion improved? Has it actually been able to, are they able to, like, weight bear?
Okay.
Are they able to handle the pain if we do exercise? Because that's the main thing of bios. It's we focus on program prescription for exercises, and you know, it's also home programs, but it's always best in the beginning to come see us in our practice. So,
but I think that's such a nice way to say it. It's like you literally use exercise as your medicine.
Yeah.
Basically, at the end of the day, that's kind of what it is, and it's just making sure and reassuring that we don't have another injury in the future, because I think that's another thing that happens. Obviously, when you have an injury, you build up all that scar tissue, and then you feel like you might be a little bit better, and you go and, you know, injure yourself again because you actually didn't complete your rehab properly.
Yes, correct. And what we also focus on, it's always post injuries, but our, like my biggest motto in bio is prevention is always better than cure.
This is true as well.
So where we work with a lot, I mean, we're fortunate enough to work with Discovery and all that with their Vitality Fitness Assessments.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the public does just use it mostly to get their points. It's it is a little thing.
Discounts on flights.
And but it's actually quite important. So I mean, I work with the Discovery part. We do work with Momentum as well, but it's basically the fitness assessment. When people hear that, they do get a bit scared because they think, okay, it's fitness, you know, we need to...
sleep test coming up.
Exactly.
Yeah, basically.
But it's actually a lot to do with, we do, you know, we make them do some exercises, but they think, you know, cool, in the beginning it's just a lunge or it's, you know, just a squat. But for us, we're looking at how the biomechanics is from the body and how, you know, where there's imbalances and how the...
And probably on how they're compensating and what leg is...
So eventually people get affrighted if they never did a fitness assessment, and then afterwards they get this whole page and they sit down with us and they're like, well, listen, here's the few problems that we need you to work on. We're going to send you a program and you need to please work on these exercises. And everyone's like, oh, well, I just thought we were coming here for some points.
Yeah, so. And then you just like, by the way, we're trying to make you healthier people. It's not just for your point. But that's an interesting...
Sorry, Debbie.
No, I just wanted to ask a bit about the biomechanics. What exactly do you mean by the biomechanics?
So, biomechanics, okay, so this is also where, with biokinetics, what I really enjoy about is, let's say, for instance, I mean, again, my special interest is orthopedics, especially the knee. If someone comes in with a knee injury, it's not always because I'm sure you guys, or every profession has always heard this, listen, I've got knee pain or something like that. And then, you know, you say, okay, cool, we're going to do exercise for knee. And then you give them, let's say, like just a, you know, just a quad activation almost. And then they're like, well, no, it's not the muscle, it's the knee. And they're almost thinking the muscles are the knee. So if you say, you know, the knee is injured, they expect exercises for the knee. They don't expect you're going to work the quad and the hamstring.
Yeah, so, but they don't understand like how it all kind of comes together and supports one another. Okay.
And then if you go further with the biomechanics, it's, again, so you, cool, the symptoms are coming from the knee. So they have the pain in the knee, but then we look at the biomechanics on how someone is balancing, how they are walking, and how the ankle and the hip, for instance, is affecting the knee. So, I mean, if those are out... I mean, with a little story as well, like in lockdown, I'm seeing quite a lot of patients at the moment for some knee and some hip issues because everyone, you know, sat around and then suddenly they were like, cool, well, comrades, they didn't change the dates for qualifications.
Oh, wow.
So we need to just go straight to our normal
routine.
Just get
back into this running.
It does not sound like a great idea.
No, so everyone comes back and, I mean, a cool story as well was when people started doing the running around the houses during lockdown phase one or 1.1.
Whatever we
and,
were in.
and everyone was running the same way around their house all the time, and where these people usually do like 20 Ks a day, they struggle after 5 Ks and then they, you know, they're like, what the hell's going on? But then they don't realize, like, you know, running around the house the same way is compensating more on one side or working more on one side all the time.
Oh, wow.
Because you not changing
that's
direction.
A good point.
And then also with the unevenness of the grass, it's not a road run, your ankles are going to affect it. So then
you
the people are like,
a lot
okay.
more energy, actually.
Exactly. And then there's a lot of, you know, issues that will eventually arise from that. And they're like, okay, no, it's not the house running. It's probably just, you know, I've been sitting on the couch. But... yeah, so
wow, that's actually like so incredible. It's not something that you would generally think of, and I think with my experience with athletes in particular, there's not really, it seems like, enough or they're not aware of the science behind, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but like the science behind like the injuries, for instance, like they're very unaware of that, and there's not a lot of guidance for them.
I think with the elite athletes, they've of course got their teams, so they probably know more than a lot of people actually.
Yeah.
But if it's
but now, it's the weekend warriors. Exactly.
It's the weekend warriors and the people that, you know, they're starting out with running and they're like working towards Comrades, because Comrades, of course, is still one of the biggest races here in South Africa. And it's one of those things where there's elite athletes, but it's a lot to do with the amateurs. And a lot of the amateurs, they come and they want to, you know, it's a goal for them, and they get a lot of injuries before and after and during. And
it's just a bit of a roller coaster.
Exactly.
But as you said, prevention is better than cure, guys. Get yourself a bike and nurses before you want to run the Comrades.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to analyze almost your biomechanics, if I could put it in that term, before you start jumping into a certain type of exercise. Because, I mean, we all have certain compensations and muscles that are weaker because of this and this. I think that's so important, and there's so many of us that can benefit from it.
Yeah, and people must also remember with, if they've had injuries in the past, so always you ask, you know, in hops history, ask about previous injuries, because we ask them, and then, you know, if there's a question that always, when have you had previous injuries? And it's always, no, you know, nothing really. And then when we're halfway through our rehab, and then suddenly we're not getting the
result, you know,
the progress where we should be, and then we ask, listen, why are you still like always feeling your hamstring? It's like, oh no, but I actually had a little tear one in my hamstring the one time. But that is like, that is like 6 years ago, so I didn't think it was like relevant. You know, like,
very relevant, actually.
Exactly. So it's
I think, yeah, I think it's just the, I mean, the people are not informed, and obviously with like muscle healing and ligament healing, people don't really always understand how that happens as well. And that would, if they kind of had a better understanding of the physiology of that, maybe they'd, you know, respect their bodies a bit more.
Exactly.
Okay, Joey, I think we can move on.
Perfect. So, Kevin, how does one qualify as a biokineticist?
So with the qualification, so it's changed over the years. I think that still doing a, you know, it's a work in progress still.
Okay.
Currently I'm not 100% sure every university actually does offer it. I do know them, you know, the top universities. I don't want to sound bad, you know.
The
ones we all know. But I'm just going to explain basically how I qualified, and then basically I think it's still the same. But some universities have changed, and some have different programs, and you know, some have changed from a BA to a BSc to a, it's some are actually in the health sciences, and
it's completely
changed. So for instance, like with me, or let's say everyone that I know of, it's a 5-year degree basically.
Oh wow!
So it's a 3-year undergrad.
Okay.
3-year undergrad, then it's, you know, you focus on in your third year, you eventually want to start deciding, okay, cool, is it more sports science that you want to go into, or is it more biokinetics?
Okay.
Or is it more, you know, some people go more into sports management. So the first 2 years are very, very broad. It's almost, I would say, like medical sciences. So you're not exactly sure exactly which route you want to take.
Is it a BSc or a BA, the one that you did?
So my undergrad was a BA.
Okay. That's interesting.
That was a tux. I do know, for instance, that FITS, they've got a different program where it's a 4-year program where you from, it's a BSc from at FITS. And then as soon as you get to honors, it's still a selection process.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, at tux it was 3 years. And then I did my honors then eventually at university at FITS.
Okay.
And the big thing with biokinetics, that we're trying to keep it a bit more, you know, elite, I want to say, because it's the, not elite, but it's they only take, when I was there, they were supposed to only take 10 people per honors.
Oh, my word.
Elite is the right word, I'd say.
tough to get in.
Yes. So but it is growing. So the one problem that I've seen, though, with the universities, because we're private sector, and the universities, they do it with, in honors level especially, we do quite a few community works.
Okay.
So we do go into Soweto, we've worked in Deep Kloof, so Chawelo, and we work with the communities, which I loved. Honestly, it was great.
Yeah.
But that's where it stops, because as soon as you're done with university, it's only private practice.
Oh, wow. That's and so
unfortunate. That's a shame. That's
exactly.
It's almost not really fair, you know.
Especially because we see the benefits. But the problem is, of course, the communication and where a private practice gets involved with the communities.
Mm.
And it's difficult because, you know, the university is taking control. It's in our country, if I'm correct.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty much the same with medical degree as well. Yeah.
So, yeah. So then after honors, then of course, like Zuma years, we don't have a Zuma year because we're not in the we're in private.
Okay.
So then we've got our practical year as internship. So then to become a bio at the end, you have to finish your internship.
Okay.
And that requires 1 year, or if you do make a plan with some places, that you can do it over 2 years, like part time.
Oh, okay.
But it's mostly, you know, you try it 1 year because now the other problem with this, and I've been seeing Barca, our board, they've been working on it, and it's a very tough situation of there's not enough private practices now that are willing to, or big enough to take in internships.
Oh.
So now there's a backlog in interns, and then the university can't always take all the people for internship. So it's becoming a bit, you know, it's a topic that it's been discussed and they need to push.
Yeah, it's a complex issue that needs to be solved.
Exactly. And this is where they're trying to push a lot for us to get involved with the hospitals. And, you know, I mean, it's not just orthopedics or that we work with. And I think a lot of professions do know this, because we do work with cardiac, we do work with chronic, we do work with special pops, and even just the elderly, you know, geriatrics, we work with them.
And I think it's almost, it's so unfortunate that our population that can't afford private healthcare is not accessible to you, you know, because it is at the end of the day kind of doing them an injustice. So, I mean, as you said, it is a new and developing sector, so hopefully that can really be pushed in the future, because I'm pretty sure we'll see so many benefits of it.
It's definitely.
Yeah, honestly.
They've started moving as well from, you know, we're working with more. I think everyone's starting to see the benefit of just movement. That's the important thing. It's no longer, you know, take a pill, take medicine, take this. I mean, if I think of me talking to the surgeons and the doctors that I work with, the shift is slowly occurring now. You know, it's not always go straight into surgery. It's about, listen, let's try conservative therapy first.
Yeah, which will be so much better and beneficial.
Exactly. And I mean, in my experience, 90% of the patients that's been sent to me that had to have surgery first doesn't need surgery anymore.
Well, that's wonderful.
It's
awesome.
But I think, I think that's really important. And I think you guys would actually probably like cut the workload of, like, for instance, the orthopedic surgeon in half.
Yes.
You know, if we were more preventative. I mean, if you just think of one of the number one killers of geriatric patients is hip fractures. So if we did more, I know, for instance, you can, a biokinesis can give you exercises to try and enhance your bone density. So if that is like just something that we started to implement, that's a great way forward.
Exactly. But again, I think I did explain this in the beginning, it's about the program prescription. And we can't just, so that is the main thing. We're not just a personal trainer. That's what a lot of people happen, is we have scientifically proven exercises that say, listen, come do these exercises. And it's not just, you know, there's one program for everyone. We look at you as one person and we're like, okay, cool, listen, this will be better for you. You can't do the exercise with weight bearing. We've got exercise on the bed. Let's do prone exercises, lying exercises. And again, like I said, we've seen the benefits in this. We've seen the benefits with especially the elderly, especially arthritis, osteoarthritis, especially in my opinion. A lot of people, they go straight to the surgeon to get cuts, but...
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like, Jerry?
If your first port of call is a surgeon with knee pain, I mean, the surgeon isn't going to be like, why don't you just go to the biokineticist? He's going to be like, okay, let's see what we can do. That's what he knows.
That's his profession. So
there's
been calls a lot where people are like, no, but surgeons just want the money. And, you know, unfortunately,
and when you're in private especially, I think that's one thing also people need to understand, it's a business.
Exactly. So but at the end of the day, it's not just the business. It's actually the surgeon is a surgeon.
Yeah.
He's not a GP anymore. He's not a bio. He's not a physio.
He's not a rehab specialist. Yeah.
Exactly. If a person
walks into the door, it's surgery or not surgery. That's his
job. Basically.
It's a slow chop.
Yeah. Do you need surgery? Yes, no. No, but I think one thing I really was fascinated by when I was started to understand surgery more, is the physical impact it actually has on a person, like on your lung.
Surgery, the anesthesiology of it, hey?
Yeah, it's actually insane. So if you can avoid it, that would actually be the best. And once again, coming back to one of the number one killers of like our geriatric patients, they have like a hip fracture, they go under surgery, their lung functions deteriorate, and then, you know, they get pneumonia and die. That's how it goes, but we can avoid that, and it's kind of a relief to know that we can.
And it's also, you know, we also speak about post-surgery now, but if you need surgery, there's certain situations where you do need surgery.
Yes,
the prehab is very important as well for the rehab afterwards.
Yeah,
because it cuts the time by, two, 3 weeks at least.
Yeah.
So if you need rehab, it's great. You need to get involved there.
Kevin, to me, it just sounds like I don't know who's responsible for you not being able to work in the public sector, but it feels like it's an injustice to the public sector that there aren't biokineticists. I'm only seeing pros and positives that you guys can provide to all these patients. It just doesn't make any sense.
Again, I think it's, you know, because we're still a young profession, and it's always been that if you look overseas, there's a few topics to it. It's a very difficult situation, but like I said, because we're still a young profession, it is a bit difficult. But I think another problem, and what I've seen, is actually the way also of all the professions, we don't always work together. And no one teaches the public. I mean, the other part is everyone's always, if you have a problem, go to your GP first.
Yeah, that's the first port of call.
I think that is not always correct. Because if it's now, let's say, a muscle injury, you don't always have to go to a GP first. Because they've you're going to see them, and they'll probably be like, okay, cool, there's no red flags. Maybe it does work.
Yeah, some, I don't know, NSAIDs.
Yeah, literally anti-inflammatories. Here you go.
So it is very important, but if people just understand, you know, you don't have to go straight to a surgeon first, for instance. That's more the protocol that I'm trying to get you is if you go straight to, you know, say come to a physio first or come to a bio first, and we can be like, listen, you don't need to even go see a surgeon. Let's first try do the conservative therapy. Let's get you better. It will make you feel better. If it doesn't, then we've tried our best. And worst case scenario, you've done prehab for surgery.
Yeah, and then actually it benefits you at the end of the day as well. But no, I think that's why I'm very happy that we're doing this season, because it's helping educate our younger doctors to be like, okay, now you need to look out for when can I, because patients are, that's what they know, to come to a GP. But if we, as you know, a young workforce are more aware of
our allied healthcare professionals.
Yeah. We can manage patients a lot better.
And on that point, students, please go to your PPE days. There's those days that there are actually days that we work with each other. And I know myself, but I know a lot of people that I've spoken to, they're like, okay, but we've got tests coming, it's our block. So let's, I don't want to go learn about other practices or other people or professions. Yeah. I need to focus on myself. It's quite important.
It's very close. It's a very close-minded approach, to be honest with you, if anything.
It's students. We we want to pass, you know?
Yeah.
So. Actually, Kevin, I'm guilty. I remember I skipped that day. So.
I didn't. All right. So I think we've spoken about briefly what are the type of patients that you see, and you said that you prefer to work with your orthopedic patients, but can you just give us more of like a...
Yes. Okay, so we work with quite a big range of people, that's what I'm saying. With exercise, you can technically work with every person, because it is important and it's very good. But if you go a bit more in depth, I mean, the categories basically, there's chronic, there's ortho, there's special pops. So if I can just think on top of my head, like for orthopedic, it's, you know, we work with the big thing we must understand with exercise or with biokinetics, we're not working the joint. So if you come to us, we're not saying we're going to work your joint. We're working on muscles. We're working the muscles. So we're not a chiro that manipulates with the spine or with the joint. And we're also not masseuses, so we don't massage. But we exercise the muscle. We work with a lot of muscle atrophy. We work with joint instabilities. And then the muscle imbalances, of course, how that leads to different things like scoliosis. And again, like also then we can go more still with orthopedics of sports performance and
getting further to that, and also return to play. So that's something I also really enjoy doing, is return to play, because that step does get ignored quite a lot,
mm-hmm.
where you need to get back to the situation. You can't, you know, get stronger and then from a physio be like, cool, me as a patient, I'm feeling fine now because I don't have pain anymore. There's no swelling. I can move normally. Let's just go run again. And a lot of people do that. So they skip the last, well, our phase of rehab. And then 2 months later, doing the same thing, same injury.
Oh, honey,
so it's very important. But then, yeah, then we also work with chronic and special pops. So from, we work with Parkinson's, full risk for geriatrics, CP, even with autistic kids. It's quite important, you know, just getting them active.
Trophy, anyone can benefit from movement and exercise. Sure.
I had no idea this field was so huge. I'm always surprised.
But again, it's exercise. Mm-hmm. We've gotten to the lifestyle now of, we know exercise are important, but scientifically proven exercises now with us is one step even better.
Yeah. Evidence-based.
So even with, exactly. And one thing, I think there's a lot of research happening right now. I mean, I've read quite a few with how the exercise, of course, post-COVID. Well, going forward.
Oh, yeah. That's actually so interesting, because I can imagine, obviously, a lot of people think that COVID is just like the flu, but it's it's actually quite a vascular illness, as far as I'm aware, and it really obviously affects your lungs.
Exactly, but also what people don't get is, cool, you've got COVID, you get better, but mm-hmm. I mean, I know quite a few people that were one of the first people that actually had COVID in the country, and they have after effects now that, you know, it's from cardiac effects, it's from lung issues, it's
like such a, and I actually saw, I think in America they have their first post COVID rehab clinic because of the lung effects, or, you know, your post effects from COVID, and obviously this is such a new field, but these patients are left feeling really helpless. With these side effects, like their whole lives have been turned upside down. So it's nice that there's kind of hope for them.
Exactly. And I think this is a big chance, and I'm really hoping to push this for Biokinetics to get involved in the public sector with this.
Yeah.
Because it is a massive issue, and I don't think people actually realize or understand, okay, cool, it's COVID, I get better. A lot of us don't even know people that had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did, you know, you feel better already. But the after effects are long afterwards. There's no research. We've never had this before.
Yeah.
So the fatigue syndromes, the heart issues, the lung issues, and if exactly like Debbie just said with the clinics in America, if we can start something like that, and it doesn't even have to be a clinic yet, but we can just get, for instance, bios involved with the public sector.
Yeah.
And we can start it, and you can, you know.
Yeah, it could be the first step in integrating them into the public health sector.
Exactly.
Sure.
And I mean, like I said, when we were in university, we were already working with it, and that is mostly with diabetes and hypertension.
Mm. Mm.
So it's, you know, controlling that through exercise, and especially with the elderly there as well, with arthritis. So
yeah,
well,
but I think that's the thing. Like, it's so underrated. The doctors like, oh, you need to fix your diet and exercise, but we need scientifically proven, you know, workout program.
What does it help for us to tell them, Debbie, literally, you need to exercise and be active? And I mean, as a patient hearing that, you're like, okay, cool, what do I know of exercise and being active?
That's where people just jump into, I mean, I love CrossFit, guys, please don't hate on me, but people just jump into CrossFit and they think, cool, I can do this.
Yeah.
So I know some CrossFit places, they do it perfectly, where I enjoy it, where they have beginner classes, they teach the techniques, but I've seen a few where they just jump straight into, you know, let's go squats and do snatches and all that, and it's someone who's never done snatches in their life. And
no, you're setting yourself up for disaster.
So exactly that situation of, we need to speak and be like, listen, not just saying, go do exercise.
Yes, and I think that's like a huge part. Literally, I mean, in all of our management plans, we wrote a test a couple of days ago, and even with that, it's just diet, exercise, but nothing further. That's all. Like, that's all we can give you.
We're not nutritional or biokineticist specialists. I mean, that's why we need these people.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, and then on that, this is a very interesting topic, and this is something that I really want to know. I'm sure many people have asked you this. What is the difference between a biokineticist and a physiotherapist?
There's okay, so
boom, you got 10 minutes.
So
don't piss any physios off.
I love you guys, I promise. So it's a very vague so the problem with this, because biokinetics was started in South Africa and physios of course all over the world, and it's integrated with every country, kind of does physio differently because every country is different, and especially African countries, we've got a bigger community where, you know, have to work with, in, I mean, for instance, in Barra, like it's the world's biggest hostel and physios get involved there. So I'm not going to go too in-depth with physios because I'm not a physio.
We understand.
But the difference, or let's say my understanding. So I'm going to, again, focus on orthopedic because that's mostly where people always don't know the difference between bio and physio.
Yeah.
So again, bio is the late phase of rehab. It's the last phase. So you would first go, let's put a person basically involved. So let's say Debbie, she ran and she tore ACL.
Damn it.
She needs surgery.
Tragic.
Yeah. So first of all, if she's able to still, you know, the ACL's there, it's not as bad as, okay, it would be swollen and very painful.
Yeah. But,
so before surgery, you'd sometimes, some people would come to us and do a bit of pre-ab.
Okay.
But it's, that doesn't happen a lot. But the bigger thing is, guys, Debbie goes and has surgery, she's still in hospital. That's when a physio will start.
Okay.
She'll talk to the surgeon and they'll say, okay, cool, we need to work on this. And in my perspective and with physio, their main goals in that situation, that it's very, very crucial, is getting the range of motion back to normal levels.
Normal.
To decrease the pain.
Okay.
So it's all about, you know, they can't do anything if they're in pain.
Yeah.
So they need to decrease the pain to bearable levels. And then, of course, they need to decrease the swelling. And now how they do that is, if how I understand physios, is they're more hands-on.
Okay.
They are about manipulating.
Okay.
So they are, you know, massaging it, releasing it, small movements. Really, you know, they're there to help out.
Okay.
They're getting that swelling, those three main points down to the point where they can eventually get the person to start walking. And then after that, then they usually refer on.
Okay.
But it is very a gray area. And this is why there is sometimes conflict between the two professions, because in both physio and bio, there isn't actually a class that says, this is the goals, this is where you should stop, this is where you should refer on.
Okay.
Because we both do exercise, we do both. But how I understand it is, we as a biokineticist, we prescribe exercises.
Okay.
We prescribe programs.
Okay.
They don't prescribe programs. Their modality is manipulation.
Okay.
So that's my biggest thing. But again, we do overlap in a lot, because if we take Debbie's situation here, she's
my
inpatient, she's inpatient and outpatient. So physios do work outpatient as well. And it's even branched out further, because physio is a very old profession where they've branched out now to sports physios. They've even further and had a lot more branches where bio is still just bio. So that's, I think, where a big problem is coming out in, and it's not helping the gray area, because now suddenly it's like there's the fundamentals, but now the other branch of sports therapy, for instance, with physiotherapy is even different. So it is a very gray area, and it is a tough question. But how, again, like I said, if you need to get stronger and you need to get that last phase of exercises in, because the physio works on you, there's no more swelling, there's no more pain, and you can actually move full range, and they've, you know, given you a bit of exercise just to get you moving.
Yeah.
That's when they should refer on. That's what my understanding is of physio.
But I think I think you've done a good job of answering that question. It really has cleared it up in my mind. I've been injured lots of times playing rugby, and always I'd go see a physio, and then after seeing the physio, and the physio would be like, "Tal, I think you're good now. I've treated you." And then always getting back into training and all of that, it is so difficult. You're always like, you feel like you're prone to another injury. And in that case, it would have been perfect to see a biokineticist.
Well, now you know. Make an appointment.
Again, it's the late phase. And another thing that I think we spoke about earlier as well was, and here I can be wrong. So but how I also understand it is, if it's a physio with manipulation and all that, they would, for instance, on the ACL, they would work the knee, the hamstring and everything, all the muscles around it.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't now look how that knee is affecting the back, for instance. So for instance, with me, I look a lot and I see it a lot with, if people have knee injuries, they're getting back issues.
Yeah.
And then they don't really think, okay, the back issue is from caused from the knee. Yeah. And that's going back to the biomechanics is, okay, how is this actually affecting from the ankle, from the hip, and how is everything changing to go into the back?
Sure.
And so we look at more the holistic view almost of the entire body, because the physio did the hard graft and work for us basically and focused on what the big injury was.
Yeah.
And then we have to be like, cool, thanks, how you guys fixed this. Everything? How do we make sure everything comes together at the end and it doesn't happen again to get you back to where you were or even better?
That's well put.
I guess you must have a lot of fun. I don't know if you ever play this game, but like when you're in a shopping center and then you try to diagnose people.
People hate me for that. Especially when friends come see me. And
you're just like, okay, well, I see you've got a little bit of a...
You're walking a very social...
Yeah.
Well, you can't say that. You have to go to them and be like, listen, you can't just approach them and be like, hi, ma'am, I think you're in a high risk for, you know, some knee issues or back issues in the future.
Here's my number.
Please come see me.
But, no, because I must admit, like, I really love, like, especially watching when people walk, I love to look at their gait and try and, like, see what they
analyze,
gait. Yeah. I'm not very good at it, but that's why I practice it. But, yeah,
but then they think you follow them because then you're walking a bit too long in woolies after them and you're like, well, you haven't taken food yet, but you've been looking at my ankles for the last like 10 minutes.
Right. Maybe you just have great angles. I don't know. Might be your thing. Okay, I think that we can move on.
Kevin, could you take us through one of the cases that has had a lasting impact on you in your career so far?
Okay, I've had quite a few, I'm not going to lie. Some easy ones, some fun ones. It's a lot to do with the patient, I guess. It's the one that's actually really stuck, and it's quite a recent one. And I think part of it was because I was in COVID situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we weren't as lucky initially in that first lockdown as bios to get exemption to first work level. Oh, so we, of course, went virtual and we started working online, but
that's not the same.
A lot of people do enjoy it. Some people really do like it because, let's say, I would say a lot with it, especially with the elderly, they don't have to come in, they don't have to do this, so they can do everything at home. It's convenient. The exercises they are doing are, sitting and standing and more the activities of daily living. So that does work, but that's not my favorite. So I like to see exactly what's happening when they are doing the exercises.
100%. Yeah.
But so there was one case. He had osteoarthritis and severe atrophy, and I mean it was late stages of osteoarthritis. And
which joints?
So with the
shoulders,
the glenohumeral.
Okay.
And it was the right shoulder, and the problem here was he went to a lot of people. And he's been to a bio before where he didn't enjoy the slow exercises, and because there is a bit of tedious exercise, especially in the starting point. But now he's seen a lot of professions, and then he went to some place to, do the stem cell injections.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know anything about it, so I'm not going to speak about it, but it's a very, it's one where some people say there are benefits to it, some say there aren't. So there's not enough research to actually speak about it. But so osteoarthritis in the shoulder, and we started just before lockdown, and it went well. From the start, I mean, he only had shoulder abduction to about 20 degrees. He could only lift his shoulder or his arm that high.
Basically can't even.
So his life was impeded. Like he couldn't do much. He
can't even wash your hair. Can't brush your teeth. Like.
Exactly.
Can't even get a beer out of the fridge.
Tragic.
I mean, you've got two arms, but I get what you say.
The one gets tired, overworked. You can't hold it.
But it was a problem, just lift things. And he said he couldn't do much. And this has now been for 10 years. It's been a big struggle. He couldn't do too much. So it was a really long progress, process for us with lockdown. So fortunately, I got him a program to do. And again, patients, please do the exercise that we give you. It's not just a souvenir.
Yeah.
It's really, really important for you.
Type it up, just for a good time.
Exactly. And so I sent him through, and he, for the first 2 months in lockdown, he did everything on himself, and he got back, and everything eventually got stronger, but it was still not able to, get better. And it went, we worked really long. I mean, he came twice a week to me, sometimes 3 times a week to me, because he's like, cool, he's starting to see the benefits. And it got better and got better. And eventually, I think after three months, eventually when we were able to start working again, he came back and he's like, cool, it's feeling a lot better. And then I think after the fourth month of our rehab, he went back to the surgeon that initially said he needs surgery. And the surgeon said no surgery is needed anymore. So that was, I mean, his eyes lit up and he was like, oh, this is awesome. And he hasn't even done the stem cell research yet or do it. And yeah, then the surgeon was really happy and he sent me a message and said, listen, continue what you're doing and it's working, whatever you're doing.
That's fantastic.
So it was great to just see, you know, again, it's one of those, I mean, everyone in the health profession, you know, when you see a patient smile up and, you know,
it's
getting
like
better.
It's like the best feeling. So
you get like adrenaline, you're cool, let's go. But yeah, everything went well. And actually last week was the last session I had with him and our full program or full rehab was about 8 months.
Sure.
And he's able to lift his arm now above 90 degrees. He can do push-ups. He said it was the first time he could do push-ups in more than 10 years.
Sure.
And yeah, he's
what an incredible
back to normal. So it was great. So
what an incredible story though, hey. And I think this is obviously exactly why you're here, to just kind of give people that quality of life again, because that is such a debilitating, you know, thing to have, osteoarthritis in your shoulder.
Especially with osteoarthritis, people have this perspective on it where they say, don't do anything, relax, stop, ice it.
Don't move or something.
Because, you know, if you move it, it's going to break. And that's actually the problem is that you're making it worse. You should get movement. Again, our profession is all about movement. It's life through movement. And with movement, you're getting the joints moving, which is making the muscles working. And it's just supporting the entire joint.
So it's just at the end of the day, it's great. Do yourselves a favor, guys.
We can move on a bit of a personal note here, Kevin. Why did you decide to become a biokineticist, and has it been what you expected it to be?
Initially, no. It wasn't what I wanted to do.
Really?
I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. But I've always been interested. I always had an interest in health, and I always had an interest in sports. So initially, I actually wanted to become a doctor. First year didn't go as well. I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted, and I didn't want to do the medical sciences. So I initially started my BSc with human physiology, genetics, and psychology.
Oh wow! Okay. And triple major.
It was great, but
can imagine no life for you.
No life. So me still being a lot involved with sports, especially my hockey, especially at Tux. I had late nights with hockey and. As hockey players do, we do have nice parties as well. So
I've heard stories.
Oh, they're great. The ones you remember. But yeah, after the first year, I didn't enjoy it. And I didn't see myself, you know, I took a step back and I didn't see myself actually in anything with the triple major. There was nothing there really. And then I took a step back and I spoke to some people. And actually, my very good friend, his dad is... Toby Sutcliffe at Tux Sports, and he said, listen, try this out. And it was a bit of a risk because the first year is technically, well, the next year has already started, and they only took 100 people for first year.
Sure.
And then it's cut. And then luckily they said, listen, you know, we know you, are you in sports, are you involved with Tux? Someone has dropped out already in the first 2 weeks. So
not for me.
Yeah.
But what a blessing, eh?
It was a blessing and in disguise. And you know, it was one of those where I wasn't certain, like, okay, cool, I don't want to start this year late, and then I started it. And yeah, ever since that I loved it.
Never look back, eh?
Again, exactly. And it's especially when, like I said, in when we were studying, there's different phases of the degree. In the first 2 years, you're not sure what you want, but you've got your medical subjects, then you've got your management subjects, and you've got your sports subjects and all that. And then eventually when you're in third year, it branches down to a bit more in depth. And then you're like, okay, cool, what do you want to go into? And then from third year, I kind of realized this is exactly what I want. Sure. And but then going from honors, then I went across to VITS, and I'm a very practical person. And Tux is a very, very, very theoretical university.
Yeah.
So they work a lot, you know, with the research. I mean, Assembly, especially, that started there now. It's a research institute. I think it's part of the IoT for in the world, one of 10, I think, of the research places. So Tux is a very, you know, theoretical. I was not a theoretical person. So going to VITS was a great opportunity for me to actually experience then, you know, more practical way and still being involved with the sports. And, you know, that was when I realized, okay, this is exactly what I want to be. It's sports, it's medical, it's hands-on, it's, you know.
That's really incredible. And I must say, like, I've known you now for years and I knew you when you were studying. And just to see, just by the way, guys, like, Kevin has his own practice now. It's incredible. And you can see how passionate you are about it. You can see, like, you know, like, this is where you're set. This is what you want to be doing. And it's incredible because now you're making such an impact on people's lives.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's always exactly that. Because I'm a people's pleaser. I'm that guy that, you know, wants to help people.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to become a doctor initially. I wanted to work in the communities.
Mm.
And then
I think you're much better suited.
Eventually, eventually working and seeing that it was not what, because I can't just go work as a doctor, go play sport all the time with the people. And that wasn't.
And I think also, Joey and I have spoken about it a lot. Like, medicine is not what we anticipated or expected it to be at all. So it's really nice to hear, like, a very happy story. I mean, I still love it. I still love medicine, but there's a lot that needs to be done in this
world. Yeah, it's not so fabulous.
But it's nice to hear that, that this is something that you followed through with and this is something that you really love. What an incredible story.
Mm. Yeah, love hearing about passionate people enjoying what they're doing and making a difference in people's lives.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard work, long hours.
I can imagine.
Again, I mean, it's the same as every health profession. We work with people, but we work with time. It's you see as many people in the day, and, you know, when you get home, then it's admin. And
sometimes you don't even have much of a life for yourself.
Exactly. So you love it. You love your job, but then as soon as you get back, you know, there is no social life.
Yeah, you're exhausted.
So, but, you know, it's all about helping people. So.
But I think that brings us to the end of this episode. I obviously once again really enjoyed this. I think, I had no idea really what Biokinesis really did. So thank you so much for coming in and sharing your insights and for really being an inspiration to this season, 100%. Kevin is one of the reasons that this season happened, just by the way, everyone.
It's a big pleasure.
And yeah, that being said, I really hope that our listeners are just a bit more aware, and I hope our future doctors kind of have a bit of understanding on where you fit in this whole healthcare system, and we'll be sending patients to you.
Oh, lovely. Well, not just to me, but to all the buyers.
To all of them, yes. All.
Not just Kevin Crossman. No, but Kev, thanks a lot for being on the show today. I've personally learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. And you've spoken intelligently, profoundly, and you've been entertaining on top of that. So I just want to thank you once again.
Anytime. And again, if you guys ever want me again, just
Lou, don't worry. We'll let you know.
I can do like Jerry, you know, and just stay on the couch.
Post-COVID rehab, that's what I'm busy with. I was thinking of going for a jog today, but just getting out of bed, I was short of breath. So I don't know.
Maybe a walk around the house. Or walk to the fridge with that beer.
But yes.
I just want to say thank you so much to all of our listeners once again. If you guys have any input, we really love to hear it. And we really appreciate it. We really appreciate the support. And that's it from us, guys.
This is MedTalk signing out.
Bye.